One. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, I didn't need to take a week off last week, what the hell's wrong with you, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you, sir?
Yeah, where did you go?
Oh, I was doing all sorts of crazy stuff. You know how it goes, but let's get right into that. All right, untap, upkeep, and draw. Before we begin, we want to start this show the way we start every show. We want to remind you that this episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, eventually, when they feel it's safe, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria, which is just reopening, as I understand it, last week, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Now, they have a very nice, new, streamlined website you guys don't want to miss. You can find them online now at kgsonline.com. That's K as in kite, G as in go, S as in Sam, online.com. And don't forget to use the promo code Planestalkers2020 at checkout to get 5% off your order. We also want to take this second to recognize our Planeswalker patrons, Anthony, Steve, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach, who really do help the show in about 1,000 different ways. We have drawn for our events for June, and I don't have them in front of me, but we'll be telling you what they are. And we're very excited about that. We're going to get those scheduled up this month. If you want to get into these drawings, and if you want to get into the call, we did have our call last Saturday, which was really good with our Planeswalker level patrons. Yeah. We've got some ideas as far as the giveaway of the Core 2021 box set coming out, as well as a bunch of other ideas they gave us. I'm very excited for it. Just come and find out more. Go to patreon.com/planestalkers. But really what this is about, it is still untapped, and... Well, I haven't untapped in, 2 weeks now, so...
That doesn't mean, tonight, doesn't mean you're drinking twice as much, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to drink two triple.
God damn it.
This is just a single IPA, it's called The Kind, I think I had it 2 weeks ago, so...
All right.
Very exciting, but Aramis, how the hell are you, sir?
You know, not doing too bad. It's been warm the last few days, which is nice. I'd rather take the heat than the cold.
Exactly.
Yeah. things have been going well. Been playing some Cube and failing horribly. It's weird. I did my very first draft 7-2.
Okay.
7-2, my very first Cube draft.
Okay.
The next 3, 0-3.
Ooh.
This Cube, somebody described the Arena Cube as salt inducing. Yeah. It's hard to pick a direction sometimes, and then you're like, okay, I think I drafted a pretty good deck, and wow, some of these decks are okay, I got destroyed many times.
Yes, well, I mean, you do that so well.
it was fun. It's been fun. You know, I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad that in-person drafting is finally there. Cube drafting is finally there. I just hope it gets to the point where we're talking vintage Cube.
Yes. Well, I don't know that they'll ever get that level, at least in Arena.
It can be done.
It's obviously done in MTGO. But, I mean, you know, for me, I mean, it's been just crazy. Isabel, for some reason, my daughter has not one, not two, but three different graduation ceremonies. Yeah. So last week we had one on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. It was some night. Which we took her, and it was fun. But that was for her, Career Technical Training Institute. So she, you know, they drive through, and they give us a little, you know, certificate. We take a picture, and okay, thanks a lot. And then this week we're doing some sort of thing at the drive-in, but because the state opened up graduations for 150 or more, we're also doing a graduation on Friday morning for her to walk across this field. I'm like, these kids are getting more graduations for not going to school than, you know, it's almost like it came out good. So. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I thought there was more.
Oh no, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Hold on a second, and you know, but so what about you? How's now? What about you? Did you get any gaming in or anything like that, or
just the cube? Basically, that I was mentioning before. That's basically the only gaming I've been able to do. You know, we'll talk about this in main phase, but I was sort of keeping an eye on the Players Tour as much as possible over the last couple of weeks. And you know, there's a lot to go over with that. So you know, once we get into main, then we'll really start to break that down. But you know, there was a lot of good Magic being played over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Why Nothing am I talking to the here. Hand?
I don't know.
Why am I really?
He's trying to silence me. Don't let him do it. Don't let him silence me.
I have not gotten a ton of arena in, I'll be honest with you. I took last week as a dark week. I pretty much just I set up a Minecraft server with the kids, and apparently I'm playing Minecraft now and am enjoying it immensely. I figured out what the fun of that game is, which is I still haven't figured out what the hell the fun of the game is, but I'm enjoying playing it for some strange reason.
It is a good time sink.
It really is. You're just like, oh, look, it's been 3 hours, and all right. And I didn't put the show out last week, so yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, the episode 63 went up this morning.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I thought I posted it up, and I went up to Anchor this morning, and because I was driving to work, and I'm like looking at my phone, and I'm going through podcasts. I'm like, you know, I didn't hear how last week's came out, because I usually will, you know, I'll do some quality control, and I'm like, 62. Oops. Where's 63? I'm like, so I log in, and it's sitting in draft. Whoops. I'm like, son of a, I must have shiny object or something. So yeah, it's up today. So welcome to 2 week. Old news.
Give it a listen, guys. Anyway, it's yeah. Still good.
But this is live. We're live now here. Thank you.
We're for real.
We're all fine here now.
Oh, God.
How are you? We're sending a squad up.
Nothing is broken. Everything is fine.
We have a large reactor leak up here. Large leak. Very dangerous.
Everybody's glowing in the dark.
All right. So I guess we, you know, that's here's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we'll go into upkeep now, is we do want to go over the state of Standard. Standard has changed post-bannings. We knew it would. We're going to go over the big decks, and this is not going to be surprising to anyone. Then we're going to kind of go through more of a bird's eye. I mean, we are 2 weeks. You know, it's been 2 weeks since we've done it, so the show. And so all the Core 21 are spoiled. So we're not going to go through and be like, here is these cards. You know, it's out there. But what we want to talk about is just a power level, perhaps, and things of that nature. So we're going to go through that. During combat, we'll see if we fall into one. Main two, we're going to talk about Jumpstart a little bit, as far as in regards to Historic. Talk about the cards that are different, that they're taking some cards out of Jumpstart and not putting them in Arena for some reason.
Some of it makes sense.
Yeah, so... we'll talk a little bit about the Mac client that came out today. They've got a date for it. And then I want to talk a little bit about the online player tour experience. How do we feel about online player tours? So, hello, Mrs. Perez. So, that's going to be our show tonight. We might as well get right into it.
Main phase.
I really should change the buttons. So that each one looks different. Because so, I hit the wrong car.
Oh, jeez. We're off to a blazing start here after 2 weeks off.
Oh, we're doing, yeah. This is
you're sure that's a single IPA?
Done. That's a single.
Okay.
If I was drinking a double, I'd probably be a lot better. So we're going to talk right now about the state of Standard. Standard has, yeah, this is terrible Standard. It really, it's not Oka level bad, but it's pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. I think the bannings were premature. I think it ended up really, really killing the meta. That almost should be our combat. but basically, I think this is one of the worst standards we've seen since red-black, you know, Amonkhet, like, block. Like, just horrible.
Well, the funny thing is, we warned people about this way back during one of
yes,
our first
did.
Episodes.
Yep. During one of our early episodes when we were previewing
Ravnica Allegiance.
Yep.
I would say this is probably like one of our first one or two episodes we were talking about this.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the ones where we beat that horse to death.
We totally did.
I mean, it just... Yeah. It was a bad day.
There it is.
That was coming.
Yeah, there it is.
But, I mean, seriously, we had talked about it for weeks, even during the whole Nexus of Fate. You know, we were like, this is the... Put Temur or Wilderness Reclamation in a Nexus deck and blah, blah, blah. And it was out there. Temur was out there. But it's a bad standard now. I think by removing Fires and by, you know, removing AOT... Okay, I can get behind Agent of Treachery. I can. I understand it. It's a salty... It's a salt-inducing card. But... I don't know. I think Standard is suffering. I'm really glad. And you know, Steve put it right in the chat. He plays Historic exclusively now because I'm so glad they put Historic in Arena because I don't know anyone that wants to play this Standard right now. Like, it's because of what they did to Companions and what they did to Fires. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. Like, it's just screwy.
Well, the problem is that they removed one mana doubling enchantment and forgot about the other mana doubling enchantment that is arguably better.
No, it's not mana doubling. It's mana tripling. Well, or quadrupling.
Yeah, or quintupling, depending on how many you have floating around. So
I mean, it's a good card. I like Temur Wreck or Wilderness Wreck. I do.
Oh yeah.
I like the Temur Wreck deck. But the problem is you took out the biggest answer for it. Okay? And aggro cannot keep up. Because you also put in freaking monstrously low-cost counter cards and control cards and about 7 billion board sweeps.
Well, not like, even that. But the big thing about Temur Reclamation is that it has all the pieces of ramp that the other colors don't have access to. Because you're sitting there with Growth Spiral, sitting there with Uro. You've got the Reclamation. Yeah. You know, it's Hydroid Krasis. So these are all the best cards in Standard.
And I know it's not in there, but Nissa, like,
yeah, Nissa's not good enough for this deck.
Yeah,
Nissa's too expensive for this deck, and it has infinite mana.
It's ridiculous.
So I'm gonna throw some numbers at you.
Okay.
We had four Players Tour tournaments over the last 2 weeks, so basically four Pro Tours. The first Pro Tour made history.
Oh, and we should say all online.
All online.
It's a brand new thing that they were trying.
All Arena, so it was all Standard. Which, on the one hand, great. So a lot of best of three Standard. You know, that's good Magic to watch usually. The first weekend, not so much. Second weekend was a lot better. The meta adjusted. But I'm going to throw some numbers out there for you. History was made during the first weekend, during Players Tour 1. For the first time in Magic's history, a card was represented 32 out of 32 out of all eight top eight decks. And it happened twice from the same deck. There were 16 Temur Reclamation decks in that top eight. There were 32 copies of Growth Spiral and 32 copies of Breeding Pool. We almost had a third 32. There were 31 copies of Fabled Passage. It had never happened before, and it happened almost three times in one tournament.
And that's just it. I think this Standard is... I think the power creep is real. I think it's a problem at the drawing board level at this point. I don't know how they fix it. Not enough is rotating. All right, sure, Wilderness Wreck is rotating. Growth Spiral is rotating. But there are already cards in Core 21...
that take a lot of that back, yeah.
And we're going to Zendikar. Like, holy shit. Pack the kids... We're in for a ride.
Well, let me throw some more numbers at you. I'm not even done.
Oh, of course.
I'm only halfway done with this. So, four tournaments over the 2 weekends. 16 of the 32 decks represented in those top eights, Temur Reclamation. Of those 16 decks, six of them made it to the finals out of the eight potential finalists. There were, I think, two mirror matches in the finals. Temur Reclamation won three out of those four tournaments. That's absurd. It made every single finals. There was at least a mirror match. And they won three out of the three of the tournaments. I think it was 40% of the metagame for the first tournament. I mean, it dropped significantly the second weekend. There were a couple of breakout new decks that came about. But this was a Temur Reclamation show. It asserted its dominance, and it was not close.
Well, Well, that's just it. The one thing about doing two weekends of Pro Tour, okay, basically, is that, correct me if I'm wrong, they did not force you to you know, a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, put your deck list in.
No, you didn't.
You
didn't have to submit your deck, I believe, until, like, the Tuesday
Monday
before.
Or Tuesday, yeah. So week two could absolutely, you know, course correct from week one.
Yep.
And I think we saw that.
There was
week two.
There was a little bit of that, yeah. But at the same...
Azorius Control was in the top... The top four were Team Erek and Azorius Control. That was people trying to fix things.
Yeah.
They're like, I am going to play Control against Rack because you have to.
But then, you know, Reclamation beat it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know...
So...
And online... And three was the most different. Three had
Jund
Sacrifice
most
winning it. Rek came in second. Ramp came in, Sultai Ramp, which I like that idea, came in third, and Bant Ramp was fourth. Okay, I'm down, but I just
there were only two copies of Team of Reclamation in Players Tour 3. In Players Tour 4, there were four copies. So it was still half the top eight in the fourth tournament.
Yeah, it's really it's bad.
And
I don't know that you can fix it. I don't think a ban is worthwhile at this point.
No, there is a deck that I believe has a good fight against it. I think it's that Orzhov Yorion deck. I didn't get a chance to see it in action, but I
came in seventh.
But I thought that was the one that had a good win rate against Reclamation. I don't remember. I'd have to look at the numbers to be sure.
Well, he came in seventh. Sixth was Team Erek, unless he lost to Jund Sacrifice.
He lost to Bant Ramp in the quarters.
Oh, okay. Even still, yeah, but it's hard to beat Bant Ramp. It's hard. That's just it. Right now, you're playing blue green and something else.
Well, the ramp decks actually very underperformed. A lot of people were expecting a lot more out of the ramp decks, and Reclamation just ate their lunch.
Well, the fact is, I mean, Reclamation, the untapping is the key. Reclamation gives you the chance to have a control deck and a mid range.
Well, also, you know, too, the lack of Teferi, believe it or not, the lack of three Fairy, because you know how badly that deck likes to do things on its end step. And three Fairy is like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's why Azorius Control was second and fourth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Gabriel Nassif was piloting the fourth place deck. He absolutely knows how to play Control.
Hmm.
I don't know who Thomas White is offhand, but I mean, he was running two Archons, four Yorion. He's running four Yorion in the main. So not only is he running Azorius Control, but yeah.
The one thing that was sad for me was that it was the semifinals was a Team Erek mirror and an Azorius Control mirror. I would have rather seen Team Erek go against Azorius Control twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to see, like, if it would have been more of a to see if Azorius Control really would have come out on top. Yes, it lost in the finals, but...
Wait a second, are you sure about... Yeah, because in the finals, first and second, I thought the finals was first and second.
I'm saying the semis. Semis was Teemer, and then Azorius.
Yeah.
So, you know, the winner was obviously... It was going to be a Team Erek versus Azorius Control final either way. But if, you know, if one of the Azorius Control decks and one of the Team Reclamation decks had switched, there's a possibility that we could have seen that matchup three times to really get an idea of how the matchup plays out in the highest stakes.
It's just a shame right now. Like, taking a look at what's happening, I mean, they've got to do... I don't know what they do here. I don't know what the answer is. And I don't want to be Mr. Negative or anything, but... this is not fun.
Well, I mean,
like,
you know, it's beating the dead horse. It could be time for another ban. But I don't know. It's only been 2 weeks. And it looks like there was adjustment in the meta between the first weekend and the second weekend. So people are trying to figure out weapons to beat Team Reclamation. I guess the problem is that nothing right now is consistent enough to really discourage people from playing Reclamation when it's... just the power, like you said, the power level is so high on this deck, there's no incentive not to play it.
I guess I don't understand why Clover's not bigger. Because that's what shut Team Erek down before, was when we went to rotation, Team Erek started to rear its ugly head again. You know, and then all of a sudden you got these Clover decks coming out of nowhere just smacking it around. Like, you just couldn't make it. It's got to be the stuff that they brought in on Ikoria.
It's either right? Ikoria, like, or just for whatever reason,
well,
it's no longer
seen
as consistent.
I mean, I'm taking
a
look at the deck list, and the deck list is not even really using Ikoria. Never mind. Shark Typhoon. That makes that deck ridiculously broken.
Yeah, because it's an uncounterable XX flyer.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, they almost never cast it as the enchantment. They always cycle this. So every time I was playing, they always cycled it.
Yeah, so I would say that's the reason why. Okay. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, again, the code was broken on Team Erec in almost every new set. Team Erec comes out, and then something comes along that breaks the code. But in this one, that Typhoon.
Well, it's Shark, Typhoon, and Uro. Gives you such card advantage, and plus the three life is not nothing.
No.
And being able to replay that, you know, and then...
I mean, because aggro is dead.
Yeah, aggro is hurting.
Even mid-range is dead. You're playing control, or you're playing...
combo.
Yeah, that's it. At this point, it's sacrifice, rack, ramp, and control. And that sucks. I'm just going to be honest with you. That flat out sucks. It's not diverse. I understand that this is... And here's the thing. This is almost 100% a result of what was going on with Mono Red 2 years ago. When, you know, right before we had rotation where, you know, it wasn't Hazoret, but, I mean, Mono Red was just stupid. Oh, the Wizards Mono Red.
Hmm.
Like, you know, and you were playing that and the Goblin Chain Whirler and all this stuff. Like, this is 100% an answer to that. I get that. And that means in 2 years, we're going to have, aggro's going to come back.
Yeah, the pendulum swings.
They're going to build freaking stupid cards, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Josh is absolutely right. If you take a look at our chat on our screen, you know, they ruined Companions. Shouldn't have even introduced it. That's part of it, too. I think nerfing the Companions the way they did, it's like, what's the use? And again, we're not seeing Companions anymore.
Yeah, I think
I might be getting a pack, Mr. Man.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible.
We're seeing one.
Right now, no. Well, especially with Team of Reclamation doing what it's doing, I think as long as that is up there, you might not see it.
Did we say by Core 21, right?
I think we said by the 4th of July.
Yeah, well, Core 21.
Core 21. Six.
So, yeah, that's... I think I'm going to be getting a deck here. I think I made a good bet.
Let me look at that Orzhov. Yeah. What was that Orzhov? Orzhov's
not even in the top 10.
The Orzhov, I know. Well, like I said, the MTG Goldfish metagame page for some reason is not showing a lot of the results from the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling they're trying to, like, you know, make the story a little bit, you know.
That Orzhov Yorion deck does use Yorion as the companion.
Oh, that's part of the problem, too, if you think about it, is that, you know, they have an online versus paper. Think about it. This is all online.
Yeah, but I mean, it should be pretty easy to update the results.
Yeah,
pretty much upload and click a button. So
yeah, I mean, they put their podcast out today. Even I didn't get a chance to listen to it.
It's just yet, like, but it's just weird because it shows, like, you know, three copies of Team of Reclamation, and we know that's not true.
Yeah, they're saying it's 9% of the meta. That is ridiculously
high. Yeah, so their information needs to get updated. So you know, I trust them most of the time right now for whatever reason. They haven't updated correctly. So, but yeah, right now it looks like you're going to be the one getting the booster. We'll see what happens in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm just about, you know, I want good standard again.
You might
I really
do.
I want
to
see
that.
A diverse standard.
Core 21 is going to help that.
And it's a good way to pivot. See what we were doing there? See, this is us being hosts. I'm looking through Core 21, and other than maybe Ugin and a few other choice cards, I'm not seeing anything that's going to shift the meta. You know.
I mean, yeah,
discontinuity could be fun because you can
control.
I mean, that's still not going to shut off Team Erec. Oh,
well,
my God.
Yes, it
discontinuity
would.
Discontinuity on Team Erec. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
oh.
That shuts down Team Erec.
How does it shut down Team Erec?
Reclamation trigger goes on the stack and the turn.
Oh, that's right. The stuff doesn't trigger?
Well, the trigger's on the stack. You just end the turn. It empties the stack.
Well, no. You'd have to do it twice, wouldn't you? Because you would hit end the turn. It says exile all spells and ability from the stack, including this card.
Mm-hmm.
I think because that end step trigger...
It's an ability.
That's an interesting question.
That's an ability. It's an ability on the stack. Because you can respond. You can respond to the Wilderness Reclamation with spells and abilities. So it's an ability that goes in the stack. So if you're playing against Team Erech, I mean, obviously that means you're going to have six mana untapped against a Team Erech player.
It's not like you're going to... it's not like what I was thinking, more like if I was a Team Erech player, discontinuity in my deck. I'm like, I did what I wanted to do. I'm going to end the game now. I'm going to play discontinuity, get my four Wilderness Wreck, you know, on the stack, and then I'm going to expansion explosion you for 70,000.
That's not how the card works. It basically takes you to end of turn, where it's you're past your cleanup step at that point.
Oh wow!
It says you're done. Next person. you don't get your end of turn trigger. Damage. You don't get your discard thing.
Exile all spells and abilities from the stack, including this card. The player whose turn it is discards down to their... it goes right to, end event stuff.
Just, no, we're done. It basically goes, this conversation is over.
Okay, now that's going to change my thought. I thought that this acted different. That is a card that can shut Rack down.
The problem is...
it costs so damn much.
It's going to cost six mana unless you're casting it on your turn, and and your turn is not the time when the Team Erech player typically goes off.
No.
So it's a potential answer, but it's very narrow.
Right. I don't know what else you would do. I mean, you know, rewind would help a little, but
they just, you know, they have a million mana, so what do they care?
Yeah, there's just not much help. I mean, Teferi obviously is good. You could phase one of them out.
They don't play creatures. They play some creatures in the main, but that's not how they win.
Oh, yeah, it's creature. It's not any card. Damn. Yeah.
And that's not how they win.
Yeah, that's not how they win.
So.
There's not much in this deck that can offset.
No, you basically have to hope to hit your Oog and X equals 4.
Yeah,
to nuke their nuclear reclamations.
I love the S, reclamations.
Yes. You have to, if you are surviving to a point where you can cast Ugin and they have more than one Wilderness Reclamation out, you probably deserve to win that game anyway. Because if they're just spinning their wheels with that much mana, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to get Ugin out anyway. They're going to counter it immediately.
Absolutely.
But, so I'm taking a look at this. I mean, let's talk about Core 21. All right, sure. let's have this conversation. I think Core 20 spoiled us a bit.
I'll say this, power level wise, Core 21 is higher power level than Core 20.
Right.
Tournament but impact of standard, maybe not as much. Because I think with Core 20, they pushed archetypes, they pushed vampires, they pushed elementals.
And I think it's not as synergistic.
Not as much. No, there's more, like, it's a toolbox set. This is more of a toolbox set, but the tools are like, you know, friggin' sledgehammers.
Yeah, instead of a drill, we give you a press. You know, it's like...
I will say that Sultibe or Bant Ramp got major league toys with this. It changes their strategy. I think they move to a more colorless strategy where they try to ramp into both Ugins. Because if you could ramp into
Cultivate Ugin, becoming standard is huge.
Yeah, but you ramp into Ugin the Ineffable, into Ugin the Spirit Dragon.
Yeah.
I mean, because now Ugin the Spirit Dragon only costs, like, what, 6?
Yeah.
Instead of 8? So...
I'm sad to see Garruk being so lame. Like, I like seeing good Garruks.
See what this Garruk does. I don't remember what this Garruk does. Let me see.
He doesn't do much. He's
pumps
kinda...
a dude, makes a dude. Sort of at a discount if you have that. Ah, his ultimate's pretty good, but that's, you know, a creature heavy base set. Yeah. Like, you know, you're gonna be searching for, you know, your colossal dreadmaws or something like that.
And yeah, Sacrifice got toys. And since Sacrifice is only going to lose at rotation, really, Mayhem Devil. Which, don't get me wrong, that is a major part of that deck. Like, it's kind of what makes that deck go off.
Yeah, it loses that. I think it loses something else, too, that's important. I'm trying to remember what that might be. Priest of Forgotten Gods goes away. I don't know how much it plays that.
I'm okay with that. I hate that fucking card.
Yeah, the Cauldron Familiar stays, the Witch's Oven stays. And even the Mayhem Devil has a sort of replacement in that 5-mana card, which is not great. The Pitchburn, not Pitchburn Devils.
Yeah, there's Havoc something Jester. To that 3-mana. Having him at 3 was the key.
Having him at 3 is very, very good. I mean, Red, like Big Red, got some toys. for sure.
Big Red got toys, but it's not going to be enough. I just don't think it's going to be enough.
Terror of the Peaks is a heck of a card, though.
It is, but it's not. Dude, they are getting Bant Ramp and Team Wreck and Sultai Ramp are getting their stuff out turn three. Like, they are going to, they're playing five and six drops on turn three or four. Like, it is hard to roll against that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I think once rotation hits, I think red.
Oh, once rotation hits.
Red reemerges, I think.
Of course it does. I mean, Zendikar has some powerful red. They'd be ridiculous not to bring some of that back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Because they don't tend to reprint too much on these non-core sets.
Well, they do when they go back, though.
Not necessarily. Not only a couple.
Well, didn't we get Land of War Elves on Ravnica?
That was Dominaria.
No, because they would be here, yeah.
Dominaria, and they reprinted Totally Lost and a couple other cards, but they try to really redo as much as possible to introduce as many new cards. Like, if you're going to see a reprint, it's not going to be an uncommon or a rare.
Right.
Unless it's like,
I just hope. Lightning Strike would be nice.
Lightning Strike would be nice. It's been too long since we had Lightning Strike in Standard. And like I said, this is coming from a control player. I think I wanted Lightning Bolt in this set. I thought Lightning Bolt would not be, like, considering everything else that's out there, I thought Lightning Bolt was actually fairly reasonable. But no, they said Shock and they put Lightning Bolt in Jumpstart, which was like, all right, so half right.
And you never know. I mean, with Zendikar, they may bring it, but I doubt it. I think they're going to, yeah.
That's just it.
Red does not have enough low-powered funness beyond Cavalcade. Now, Embercleave is still a freaking ridiculous card. Mm-hmm. And it can get busted quickly.
Embercleave plus Fiery Emancipation equals good game.
Yes, basically. But it's the ability to get it out. I mean, Red doesn't like to have that many moving parts. Red wants to be...
as long as the parts are turning sideways to smash into your opponent's face.
Right, right. Red doesn't like combo. There's a reason Gruul is still tier 2. You know, it's too combo-y for what Red wants to do with it.
I don't know. I think, you know, there's... It's hard to say. Like you said, you're right. This set is not as pushed for archetypes as last year's was. There are pieces here. There's pieces to different puzzles. The question is going to be, are these pieces to the right puzzle? And right now, I don't know if the answer is yes. I mean, you know, Azusa Lost Beseeking. What's that?
Do you think we're going back? I mean, Zendikar had dragons, right?
I wasn't playing during Zendikar. All I remember is that there were Eldrazi, and I know they're not doing Eldrazi.
Yeah, they're not touching Eldrazi.
I mean, there might be one.
You're not touching Eldrazi, and you're not bringing Shocklands. What the hell are we going to Zendikar for? Yes, and that's just it. I'm seeing a lot of dragons in this set three
Tarkir's
or four.
Tarkir's more of the dragony plane.
Oh yeah, which they still have not announced the roadmap for what's coming next.
Yeah, Mark Rosewater mentioned that on his blog at Tog. Somebody had asked him, "Are you going to do, you know, what's coming out next year?" And he's like, "Is that something you guys would like to see?" And it's like, you guys used to do that all the time. Of course it's something we want to see.
Shut the hell... He is seriously losing his goddang mind. Like, I'm sorry. He's getting freaking annoying with that. Like, is that something you want to see? I'm going to shill. It's like, shut the hell up. Why would we ask? It's your blog. You literally saw this person ask you this question. You posted it and then put your little stupid response... It's not like you were in a chat AMA. You chose that question and then answered it with, is this something you want to see? Come on, dude. Do better.
Answer the question with a question.
Oh, God, I hate people sometimes.
It's like, I don't know, there are some very good cards in this set. I will say that. Maybe it helps enable some strategies that were sort of on the fringes before. It is hard to see it. Luckily, that's why I'm not a pro.
I mean, Basri is a complete joke. I don't think he's going to see anything. Like, I'm looking at the Planeswalkers. Liliana is not that powerful. Again, you know, Garruk is kind of eh. Chandra's okay.
Chandra's good. Yeah. Because, you know, you can plus her for the shock if you don't want to discard your hand. If your hand is low, you can, you know, basically, it's almost like drawing three cards. I mean, Ugin and Teferi are the two big players here.
I gotta admit, I was thinking very seriously about a Chandra tribal. Like, just do it from the core 20 and
it could totally spend an almost.
Oh my! Could you imagine with a Chandra's Inferno and a Chandra's the other thing she had in the there's Chandra's Incinerator and then the Chandra's the thing she had I think in either 20 or
well I mean with War, well there's War of the Spark Chandra too, don't forget.
Yeah, like I, you could make a Shandi Super Friend fun little deck.
Saffron
could...
Olive actually did that.
Oh, did he?
He did a Chandra tribal deck, and he said it actually was fairly competitive.
So maybe, and you're not, Steve, you're not wrong. I am too influenced by power creep, but I'm talking standard here. Okay, and I have to be influenced by power creep. I can't deal with what's 3 years ago. We have to deal with what we're getting now. And these planeswalkers now, and again, part of that is, too, War of the Spark changed how we view planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Steve said, if you're listening to this in the audio, you are too influenced by power creep. 3 years ago, these all would have been great walkers. Then he says, I think they will be great in rotation. Lily ain't that bad for Sack. No, Lily's not that bad for Sack, but the other Lily is way better for Sack. And granted, she's rotating out. But, yeah. I mean, the end of the day, these Planeswalkers are just kind of...
Well, also, to be fair, I mean, typically, obviously last year was an exception. This year's somewhat of an exception as well with Ugin.
Right.
Typically, the power level of a core set isn't super, super high. This one, like I said, individual cards are ridiculous. Grim Tutor, yeah. Ugin, you know, Azusa, it's who probably won't play, Tutor, play
yeah,
in standard.
The stuff we're getting reprinted that we should have had a long time ago.
Good reprints.
Absolutely. Like, I'm sorry, Sultai Ramp into Massacre Worm and Massacre Girl? Holy shit.
Sultai Simulacrum's, oh, not Sultai, but Solemn Simulacrum's a great card.
Yeah, it's gonna, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's gonna be decks.
It's harder to see this. It's not as clear cut to me as it was last year, and that's fine. I'm not you know charged with having to break the meta. I'm charged with having to say, hey, this is what's happening. I'm not the one that has to try to figure this out. So luckily, those you know, I'm sure, you know, the brains in professional Magic have already figured out two or three different decks that we have not heard of that are going to completely crush Team of Reclamation or not.
I know there are guys out there trying to break the red code. They really think that right now with all the combo and with all the control that red, if we can get mono red again and burn, just don't think you got it. Just not yet.
Could be mono white. Who knows?
Mono white. And that's just it. I mean, the white planeswalker there, he's not bad in white, but he's no good at anything else. It's, you know.
Well, that might be the lane that he's in, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you have to figure we're probably going to be moving away from such a heavily multicolored aspect of it since the Ravnica sets are rotating out. Yes, we have the tricycle lands in Ikoria.
Right.
But other than that, we've got Scry lands. You know, Shock lands are going away. So we might not see as many three-color lands or decks after Shock rotation as we did beforehand. Away. It's going to depend on what's in Zendikar.
I think they're going to have to come up with a new land base for Zendikar.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to come up with name. They're going to have to come up with. I mean, the Trilands are named, but either some sort of check or pain or something different. You know.
Well, it can't really do. They can't do the pain lands because the pain lands are all linked to places in Dominaria, and there's no sense in doing a completely new cycle of the same
I'm
land.
I'm still surprised that Dominaria didn't bring back the pain. I was surprised when
they had the check lands?
They had the check lands at that point.
Yeah, so I mean, and those were fine. Enemy color check lands were fine. I was happy about that. I I kind of wish they had not reprinted the Scry lands, the temples, in this core set simply for collection purposes. But I like it for tournament purposes to have both. All 10 lands available for a full year.
Yeah, you need them at this point, especially since we're losing Shock. And that's what scares me the most about Zendikar is that, oh, crap, what are you doing to us? Are you not giving us good dual lands because we're losing the Shocks in
this set? maybe it'll slow down the format to a point where these more expensive cards can see some play.
You don't need a slower format. You need a better format.
Hmm.
Like, I think a slower format's going to hurt us more than...
Well, maybe slower is the wrong word. Maybe more interactive. Because really, the reclamation player just sits there and dirtles until he kills you.
You're probably not wrong. I just... Yeah.
But like you said, I agree with you. It's tough to see, just from a passing glance, what's going to be good. Like, you know, individual archetypes got some help. You know, control got some help. Aggro got some help. Combo got some help. Ramp got help. Not that they needed it.
Well, that's just it. Blue-green, anything blue-green, it's like, at this point, come on. Seriously? I mean, don't get me wrong. We have Colossal Dreadmaw back. They're bound and determined to make that a card.
The funny thing to me is that Elder Gargaroth seems to be too expensive to be good. And it's a ridiculous card, but I don't see it getting played very often, at least until rotation, just because it's 5 mana. And Questing Beast is just better.
I don't think so. I don't think it will anyway, because Questing Beast isn't rotating.
Questing Beast.
So Questing Beast, Questing Beast is a better answer. Now, somebody said it earlier in the chat. Steve did, I think. Hold on. I think he said that basically, yeah, he's like, I don't think red's going to beat out green post-rotation. Mono green is a good bet right now, a lot of strong green cards. And there are. But there are a lot stronger blue-green cards. Like, again, Euro. Post-rotation, we lose Hydroid. Thank the Lord. But, I mean, and Growth Spiral. But they will find some other way to ramp. There's already some ramp in here with elves and various crap. So, I'm not holding out. And again, they've already said they're liking the power creep. I can't help thinking we're going to see more. You know, that they're going to start turning it up a little by little. And they'll probably course correct now. I think in a year or so, we'll have a better standard. You know, but at this point, you know, it is what it is.
I'm still saying Lightning Bolt should have been in the set.
Oh, Lightning Bolt should have actually been in the set. And the Birds.
I guess I can understand Birds of Paradise not being in there with Gilded Goose already in this, this standard. Maybe the next rotation, maybe Core 2022 is when Birds comes back.
And if they do, then you got to bring Bolt.
Yeah, you have to.
So maybe maybe what they're doing is they want to see how Bolt plays in Historic.
It's going to be played
everywhere. I get the feeling that they're using a lot of Historic. Is Bolt one of the cards that they're going to print from Jumpstart?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Power level concerns.
What power level concerns? A one drop. 3 damage is a power level concern?
Basically, this is the reasoning behind the whole reason why a lot of these cards haven't been reprinted in forever. Lightning Bolt changes the level at which a creature is good.
Okay.
Because, you know, with Shock, 3 toughness creatures can be played. Lightning Bolt, they can't be played. So it sort of invalidates a whole level of power. It's similar to how Fatal Push works in Modern. If you're playing a card that's, you know, 4
or less.
If you're playing a creature that costs 4 or less, you're stupid.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like the quality of the creatures right now is good enough so where Lightning Bolt could see play. I don't know that their argument really holds much water anymore. I could understand it a couple of years ago. Right now, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. It's unfortunate, I think. They missed an opportunity.
I hope you're wrong. I mean, Bolt is really a good, you know...
It's extremely good. And it'll be played in any deck that plays red.
Right. And in this control meta, not for nothing, it doesn't mean much. It can be countered.
Yeah, I mean, Uro erases the damage just by casting it, so...
Yeah. It's worthwhile. I mean, right now, I mean, Core Set 21, I mean, the jury's going to be out. It does come out in 2 weeks. You know what? And let's pivot to that. We won't do combat, but let's get right back into main here. One thing I want to talk about before we get into Historic and the Mac client is, you know, the current, I want to say, status of play. I mean, again, I don't see any pre-release events hitting. Firing.
No, not there might be like a couple of isolated ones, but I think in-person pre-releases are still months away.
I know both of my stores out here are firing events. Both Professor Bonds and Gamers Revolt are firing events. Now, I'm not going. I can't go. My wife is, you know, she's somewhat immunocompromised. I don't have the option to go. You know, I'm, you know, I don't, I haven't talked to Steve yet, but I think Steve's mindset was they're not opening for quite some time.
Yeah, he's he is waiting until he gets the word from on high, basically, that it's good and fine to do that. And I completely agree with him 100%. There is no reason to risk any potential small pocket of an outbreak. I mean, you see some parts of the country now where, I guess in Florida, there are over 100,000 cases now, and it's been spiking over the last 3 weeks, and it's just it's been ridiculous how quickly the numbers have been going up, because some people have decided that the pandemic is just gone when it's clearly not. But that's so, you know, that's sort of dipping your toe into the political landscape, and
right, we don't want to go that far, but I mean, it does change how things are going. You know, at this point, I know Zombie Planet isn't firing events yet.
No, I don't think anybody should be right now.
Right. Is the other store we used to go to there?
Flights of Fantasy?
Yeah, are they firing?
They had... it was kind of a cool event that they had. It was an outdoor barbecue slash figures painting event. Okay. People were social distancing and wearing masks. They brought them barbecue. It was really cool. I don't see them doing something like that for a pre-release because, you know, cards blow away in the wind. I think
You can't. You have to sit across the table from somebody, and unless that space, plexiglass, but
that space is too cramped.
You.
Yeah, that space is too cramped right now. I don't see them doing in-person events for Magic for a while yet. And again, I think it's the right idea. I think we have to wait until, honestly, until possibly a vaccine is available.
Right. I don't know if they'll go that far. I think I do think I don't see. I don't think we'll see one before probably end of year, if not, maybe Zendikar. Maybe Zendikar.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Yeah. So, and I mean, Steve, yeah, we're going to talk about that, running our own pre-release event here, you know, online. Whether we do it with the pre-release packs, which would be fun because I like to flip cards, or we all just buy six sealed, you know, pre-release, you know, decks on Arena, we'll figure that out. We'll definitely talk about that. So, but I mean, yeah, this, you know, I miss playing in stores. I miss going to Kerwin's. I miss going to other stores. But I mean, until I'm sure that I'm not going to bring home anything. You know, it's bad enough I have to go to work 5 days a week. Like, at least the students ain't back yet. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and that probably be when I feel it's safe for me to go is when the federal government says, "Hey, we can bring students back." Okay, I'm going to feel safer. Like, okay, that we might be over the hill and I could start doing a little more. I mean. We had my wife's recital this past weekend, and we all maintained social distance. We're going to have her graduation, you know, party, but it's 10 people, and 8 of them are our family, like the 8 of us that see each other, like the 3 kids and the 4 adults.
Yeah, well, and at this point, that's somewhat acceptable for our area because we've done a good job as a state, New York State we're talking about. We've done a pretty good job at keeping things in check and keeping the numbers down. They've been trending down for a while. Right. So, you know, we're allowed to have small gatherings.
I'm not a big Andy Cuomo fan, but he's actually done all right by this. So,
yeah.
You know, so, and yeah, it's going to be, you know, so check with your local store. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you can play at your LGS and they're open and you feel comfortable.
Yeah, and it's safe.
Then, you know, go to town. I mean, for me, it's like, we have to be able to let them touch my cards. Like, that's a rule. Like, they have the right to grab my card. Well, okay. And I just watched you wipe your nose. What? So now my card is dead? Like, there's no way playing Magic, you know?
Yeah,
but
right,
I'm not
going to
fault these stores for firing events. I mean, both these stores are rather smaller market. I get it. They're taking hits, you know? And so I'm not judging you, but... For me and my family, I got to do what I got to do.
And they are taking a risk, regardless. Yeah, yeah. They're taking a risk by not, you know, whether or not they're able to open. They're taking a risk if they decide to hold in-person events. I just hope that, you know, if they do it, that nobody gets sick. That's all you can do.
I'm sure that they're doing the best that they can. They talk about what they're doing as far as social distancing. So let's pivot from that, though. We're going to kind of... gloss maybe a bit over Jumpstart. If you don't know, Jumpstart's kind of like they're trying to enter into the I don't want to say single use games, but
well, there's a game that just came out called Smash Up.
Right.
It's basically a clone of that.
Right. So it has a lot of great modern slash pioneer staples.
got more good reprints. Lightning Bolt is in this set.
Yeah, there are a lot of great reprints. I mean, Path to Exile's in this. Thought Scour's in this. I mean, a lot of staples of quote-unquote modern slash pioneer play are in this set.
Mm-hmm.
It might be worthwhile. It could be fun to play. I think we might try to do an online event because I know that they're going to put it on Arena. So yep. Maybe we might try to do an event with the guys. You know, and any listener would be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but patrons get first dibs. And so, I mean, how do you... tell me now about the cards, though. Like, they're saying that all the cards in this are going to be historic legal. And then they went and came back and said, but we're not reprinting all of these in Arena.
Right.
And we're going to replace them with something else.
Right. So, there's... I'm trying to find the article here. There is a list of cards that are in Jumpstart that are not going to be in the Arena version of the product, either for power level concerns or even coding concerns. One in particular, I know that for a coding issue, it was Time to Feed because of the way their triggers work. So the list of cards that are in Jumpstart in paper that will not be in Jumpstart on Arena are Exhume, Reanimate, Scourge of Nel'Toth, Time to Feed, Ball Lightning, Chain Lightning, Fadiaseer, Lightning Bolt, Shield Dread Whispering One, Read the Runes, Rhystic Study, Ajani's Chosen, Angelic Arbiter, Draconic Roar, Flame Tongue Kavu, Goblin Lore, Mausoleum Turnkey, Path to Exile, Scrounging Bandar, and Thought Scour. Some of those cards, I'm not surprised at all because some of those cards are ridiculous.
Path to Exile. Why the heck not? Love that card.
It's an incredible removal spell, but for historic, it's too strong.
It's not too strong. It's a removal spell.
FTK. I mean, jeez. Flame Tongue Kavu is nowhere near as good as it was when it first came out when creatures were terrible. But I remember the day where basically, like, if your creature didn't survive a Flame Tongue Kavu, it wasn't worth playing. FTK was ridiculous. It was such a good card. I remember that card fondly. I loved Flame Tongue Kavu.
A one white removal spell. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exile removal spell.
Yeah,
instant
it's
speed.
Great.
That's not what white does anymore.
Yeah, but you get to bring a land in.
Ooh.
Tapped.
Ooh.
So
Chain Lightning, Chain Lightning I can see.
Yeah, I guess I can
Chain
see.
Chain Lightning's kind of silly. Ball Lightning doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's kind of like they were like, well, we're doing the other two Lightnings, we might as well do them all.
Shield Dread, yeah, that should be, just stay in Modern. Shield Dread's too, with Shield Dread nuts.
Yeah, so that's kind of that. They haven't said what they're going to replace them with. They did say they're going to find like-minded cards to replace them with. So I'm sure we'll see Lightning Strike because they've already got it programmed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of thing.
And, I mean, the Moxen and the Power 9 are already coded. So,
right.
You know.
Just put the Power 9. So the other big news that came out today, actually, is that as of this Thursday, those of you who, like me, are smart and have Macintoshes, your Macs will now play Arena. I'm kind of excited for this, man.
Yeah,
I like my Mac.
I'm very happy that they did this. They said they were going to, and I think they're even either on target or slightly ahead of schedule from what they said last year.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I think they said something about like third quarter or something.
But
of
you're
2020.
Not. You know what you're not hearing about? You're not hearing about mobile.
No, they've. I think they've pushed that down. And
yeah,
I mean, for right now, like I remember saying this back then. Focus on a stable client, then we can get bells and whistles.
Again, and I will say it again. I want to play Arena while taking a poop. So get it on my phone.
I hope we'd heard the last of that, but I guess not.
You're never going to hear the last of it. Everybody wants to plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, I want to bolt your face. You know, I mean, it just, yes, it's worthwhile.
Wow. Use a laptop.
And I do, but I don't want to discuss that, you know, because, you know, sometimes you forget to wash your hands.
Oh, cute.
But putting it on Mac OS was a really good move. I think the only gripe that I have, and it's very, very super minor, is that you have to go through the Epic Game Store to get it on a Mac. But that's, you know, what I...
Stop being such a wuss.
It's like I said, it's like, it takes it from like being on 100 to like a 99.5. It's one of the things we're saying...
What's the big deal? Do you have the Epic Game Store on your computer?
No, but it's an extra hoop to jump through.
It's not, but it's... Most people already have it because 9 out of 10 Macs can play Fortnite. And if you play Fortnite, you have Epic.
Yeah, I don't play Fortnite.
Everybody loves Fortnite. I love Fortnite.
And I don't have a Mac, so...
Yeah, see, that's your thing. I think you're just upset because you don't have a Mac. Unlike me, who has one. I love my Mac. It's amazing.
I love Apple.
Granted, it's a 2011, but, you know, it does its job. I'm going to get a new one here eventually. So
actually, I do want to...
I take it into the bathroom with me, and I don't wash my hands.
Ooh, gross. I do want to bounce from that to some somewhat breaking news that we have.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And now, breaking news.
Figured as good a time as any was right now.
Okay.
Last week, Wizards announced that they were ending their relationship with Therese Nielsen, one of the very famous artists of Magic the Gathering. She, I guess, had followed and reposted some alt-right or white nationalist stuff, some pretty questionable things. Right. So they ended their relationship with her. They also, just today, announced that they are terminating their relationship with another artist, Noah Bradley. I guess there have been some allegations of sexual misconduct with him, between him and other members of the Magic community and other members of the artist community. So as of today, they're cutting ties with Noah Bradley. They will no longer be commissioning artwork from him. They'll be removing reprints of his work from their products. And they did mention that, you know, stuff that's already done, that's coming out, they can't change that. But after now, they're not going to have any more new art from him. I'm happy to see Wizards staying the course when it comes to making sure that, you know, they're inclusive and that they're not ignoring allegations like this. And, you know, hopefully they did an investigation and obviously found that he did something that was very inappropriate and is being appropriately punished.
Right. Well, Wizards is... They're notoriously late to the party.
They're late to the party, but I think...
They are always late to the party. Yeah. I'm not saying with just this. I mean, with the racial and some of those cards, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, but good on them for doing this.
They're trying.
Definitely the right move.
They're trying.
Yeah. They have to do that. So I'm definitely down with that. I mean, some of these people just have to go. And so... but with that, I mean, it's the smartest call, getting rid of, you know, well, I mean, this person, this was the artist there, Therese, whatever, I mean, that was who Autumn was writing on her lands. Like, she was writing on the lands painted by this woman.
Yeah.
Or they were writing on the lands painted by this woman.
No turfs on Gruul turf.
Yeah. Like, just, and, you know, because Autumn took it very personal what was being said about them, you know, and by other people like this artist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think she ever came out and said, you know, trans people suck or anything like that, but...
I think something very close to that, yeah.
No, that's J.K. Rowling. But
Therese had very very similar things that I think she had said or posted, basically, like, trying to erase the trans community and invalidate their existence. It very... Just stuff that doesn't fit in 2020 planet Earth.
No. So, with that, I mean, it's interesting to say the least. I'm glad they're doing it. I'd like them not to stop. I mean, this stuff's been happening for a while, as far as the sexual misconduct, as far as the way women and people of color are treated. Not so much people of color are treated anymore, but definitely how they treat the gamer girls. And that's not okay. You know, that type of stuff, that has no place in this hobby. And... You know, yeah, I don't think anybody would argue with that.
It shouldn't matter who you are. You're here to play a game, have some escapism, have a good time with friends. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, straight, gay, trans. Who cares? Right. You're human beings. You're playing a game, and you deserve to be respected.
I will say this. If you're a clown, you can't play. Leave. Go away.
Find an island. Put yourself there. Anyone else is welcome. Just
he's,
not clowns.
He's just scared of clowns.
I don't like clowns. I'm not scared of them. I don't like them. There's a difference.
So I should be sending you lots of Pennywise photos then.
You can. Absolutely.
Have people dressed as Pennywise deliver your pizza.
Absolutely. I think that's a fine idea. You have a 5-year-old son who's easily scared, right?
6, actually.
When's the last time you slept?
When's the last time he slept? He sleeps like a rock. He's asleep right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, I can find ways to, you know, it's easy to frighten a toddler.
What's the matter?
We don't even show up on most of the GPS systems, so good luck finding us.
I remember where you are.
Yeah, you take a left in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and then
go
you take
right
a right.
Past Deliverance.
Yep. You're not kidding. Holy cow. Seriously, let's not discuss it. You and I live in both, like, the rural of rural.
The sticks.
Yeah, let's hear it for that. So we do have some emails here. Walter has emailed us, obviously, and I'm going to read through real quick. And he wished us both a happy Father's Day. He updated us on his son, which is really cool. Hopefully he comes home next week.
Fingers crossed for you, bud.
Yeah, he's asking about Jumpstart. We did kind of talk about that.
Are we both interested in it? I'm interested.
I'm all for new formats in Arena, especially with a standard like we have right now. So, absolutely.
Yeah, dumpster fire.
And I think they need to do it. He wanted to know about how we felt about the Players Tour, and we were going to kind of touch on that. I miss Paper Magic. I like that we're getting competitive play.
Yes,
I finally. Like, you know, but, I mean, they had some real problems week one. You know, Echoes, and I understand that this is not Jimmy Kimmel Live and all of that. Like, you can't expect that level of, you know, professionalism. But on the other side of it, how can you not expect that level of professionalism?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you're trying to represent yourself as an e-sport, and at no point did you think that maybe you want to run a few test broadcasts and see how things go?
Now, although, to be fair, you know, when you're live, things happen. I mean, our podcast is testament to that.
But we do, you and I do try very hard to get ourselves to a place where, you know, that doesn't happen as often as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I take it as a personal pride that, you know, we try to make the most professional broadcast we can. Like, these guys this was your big moment, all right? This is you're trying something new. You want people to engage in your esport, and you know, you're sitting there and they screwed up. Now they did better this last week.
No, they didn't have any issues as far as like actual broadcasting the footage itself, correct? It was mostly audio.
It was audio and some of it, you know. And here's the thing. It's not as exciting for me. Watch and having these guys comment on a video game is really interesting. And, you know, and you've got people in different rooms. So it's jarring that, you know, one room could have a very large echo, like BDM's house had a very large echo. And then, but Anna's house she had actually a really great studio as far as, you know, she had deadened sound and things of that nature.
Right.
That's the stuff that gets me because I am an old broadcasting guy. And, you know, it's like, okay, if you know that you're going to be doing a broadcast that's going to be seen by thousands of people, you might take a few minutes to think, okay, where am I going to do this? Now, it's 95 degrees. You can't sit in your closet. I understand that. But then you got to go to Wizards and be like, I need some sound deadening equipment. I need, you know, this, that, or the other thing. Maybe, you know, tell them what you need. It's tough. You can't run an air conditioner because that'll get picked up. You know, like right now, our door's shut and I'm roasting, but I'm doing that because I want a decent audio.
Right.
You have to take those things into account. If this is what you're going to do, if you are going to do this from the comforts of their own home, then you have to somehow control that a little bit. And I think Wizards just didn't. It almost seems like it snuck up on them. Like,
yeah.
Put somebody in a studio. Why don't you have two guys? You've got studios on the left coast and the right. Why don't you put somebody in one in New York, put one person in L.A. with
one engineer who's socially distanced, who's sitting in the other room managing all the board, you can do that. That would have been smarter than what they were trying to do, which, and you know, you've got somebody's background, and their background, they've got shelves, and their shelves have all this stuff on it, and it looks horrible. I want to see a more professional broadcast. Not like this right here, where our hands disappear, but, you know.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, so.
I'll say that overall, big picture type of thing, I like Arena as an esports client. I like that, you know, visually it looks good. It's clean. It's easy to decipher what's what.
And broadcasting, they found a good way to show both screens at once.
I do wish there was a way for the viewer to be able to switch their perspective at will. That might not be something that's feasible, but I know that sometimes they stay on one player for the entire game, and you'd sort of see like the very top part of the next person's screen, and be like, oh, but I want to see what they look like.
And I understand too that you can't do that as much, because even though you have the rule about ghosting, they would ghost.
People would ghost all day long. But audio issues aside, I think they did okay once they got some of the bugs worked out. Overall, grand scheme of things, Arena is good. I do miss watching Paper Magic, because there is something about the body language. There is something about the bluffs and the tells and being able to sort of guess what your opponent's doing just based off of how they're moving around.
They talked about that. They were like, you know, there is something to, I forget what it was, either Wilderness Wreck or something, where, or one of the sack cards, where they're basically like, they know that they don't have a trigger because it goes right away, and you can't make it pause.
Right.
And there are aspects of Arena where that, you know, happens. It's okay. It's better than nothing. I will say that.
Yeah.
I just would like to see them take it to the next step.
I will say that I don't miss the glare on the sleeves.
No, but you know what?
But here's everything what else they about could it, I do.
Here's what you do. You choose six people. You have a broadcast team. You choose six people. These six people, you send them a backdrop with sound-deadening foam, all right, that goes around their set, okay? And so that you have a universal thing. Put cameras on the players and, you know, maybe have the players VPN in and say, like, you know, your phone, whatever, and, you know. But then you can, like, show two players at once. I'd like to see that, because that's what the NFL does. Like, when I listen to the NFL on Sirius, when I'm listening to Miami play, I have a choice of listening to Miami's call or the other team. Like, maybe I'm a fan of Reed Duke, and you're not showing Reed Duke's cards. You know, he's at the top of the screen that occasionally you switch over. Well, let me watch Reed Duke, you know, and... Mm-hmm. There are ways to do it. I'd like to see them do a little bit more, but...
You know what would be actually really cool, thinking about that? I just thought about this. If it's all Arena, and there's always a chance that somebody has the feature match and everybody's feed is getting sent to Wizards anyway,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to be able to go to a web page and say, what player do you want to follow for this tournament? Right. Click. Hey, there's Kenji Igashira.
Yep. Or even better, allow us to kibitz. Allow us to watch Arena events in Arena. Like, yeah. let us just
mode.
Watch. Yeah, a spectator mode. That would be great.
I think they're working on something like that. I think I remember hearing grumblings about that.
Well, with that, you know, let's go ahead and get ourselves, because we're coming up to the here.
End step.
So we're going to end the show here. We've had a great time tonight. It's good to be back. We'll be back next Monday, of course, 8 p.m. Eastern. But both Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Plain Stalkers podcast channel on Twitch. We are also doing our Wednesday Commander Craft. That'll come back this week. I think this week is just going to be our standard Commander, like, you know, obviously middle power deck, Steven. just a standard Commander week. You know, but we'll be there. You can catch that on Wednesday right around the 7:30 hour there. We should try to go 7:30 if possible, because Steven always has to get off. But we want to remind you, we're on Twitch. Look up Plains Talkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And if you want to follow me and burn one of your channel follows, I'm at RMFWRX on Twitch. I never stream alone. Anytime that I do, it's going to be on the Planestalkers channel anyway. So I might just get the credentials and just start logging in with that. Because I'm never really on my account. On the off chance that I am, that's where you'll find me. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to follow the show, we're making an effort to be more active on Twitter. You can follow us at PlanestalkerPod.
And Steven says he's going to be playing a dumb, expensive land set. The rest of my deck is relatively fair. Shut up, Steven. Your expensive lands are not fair.
Yeah. The expensive lands are usually the problem.
Yeah, that's actually like... That's the most expensive part of Commander.
I'm going to go Island, Mox Diamond, Sol Ring, Mana Vault, Tap. Yeah, it's Talarian Academy.
Oh, it's third edition duels. Oh, that won't end horribly for anybody. don't forget, my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm on there. I'm pretty much just there to follow the daily tweets of my favorite rock band and yours, Styx. I'm just a huge Styx fan. I want show me the way, Lord, and go to town. And, you know, and mainly Dennis DeYoung Styx. Don't give me Tommy Shaw. I want Dennis DeYoung Styx. So, Mr. Roboto, that's my Styx. But yeah, you can follow me there on Twitter.
You lost me once you started naming people in the band.
It's the lamest of the lame in the band. Like, I do like Styx, but I like Tommy Shaw, but I say Dennis DeYoung because I'm trying to come up with something lame that I follow on Twitter. But you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. Remember, it's not Planestalkers. We took the last S off for savings because some jerk took the site. And like and follow our page there.
Give it time. I'm sure that domain name will expire.
I'll try to find it.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask us for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you want to send us a message just to see how we're doing on the show or even how you're doing, if you have a story to tell us or something,
we
really appreciate all that stuff. Our
about
email
you
address.
Going down to the Woolworth Five and Dime and picking yourself up some ribbon candy.
And you happen to find a booster pack of beta for $5. So if you want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I do want to remind you, I do host another podcast. We're actually going to re-record the finale because we screwed the recording up. Like, all three of us had something wrong with it. So we're actually going to do an entire show again.
Oh, my God.
It's the worst, dude. I'm like, this is going to be the worst, you know? But it's on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. And, you know, we do have iTunes reviews. We do hold contests periodically. I'm not going to say monthly anymore because it's going to be periodically as we can. But leave us an iTunes review there. It does help the show. And we do host drawings to give you guys some arena codes. But with that, I want to say thank you very much for hanging out with us. Both Aramis and I really appreciate all of the time you guys spend listening with us. We're going to be back next week to do another show, so tune in at Monday at 8 p.m. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for listening, thanks for being here, and remember to leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care, and have a great week. Bye-bye.